I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and I'm here on the Real Relationships Show sharing my solo sessions. These sessions are accumulation of my expertise, my experience, my thoughts, my opinion, the answers to questions I get asked in my email and on my socials, and the questions that I answer every week on my regular radio slot. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, and let's get ready to start changing your life by changing your relationship. Hi, Andy.
Well, we've got a really interesting one this week. I've had an email from Caroline who says, I think my partner's having an affair. I found messages on his phone and I don't know what to do. Now, Caroline, first of all, I'm really, really sorry that you found these messages and that you feel the way you feel. I'm pretty certain right now you're feeling hurt, you're feeling betrayed, you're feeling angry, and I'm sure you have asked your questions, why? You know, why is he doing this? Is it something I have done? Could I have stopped this? Could I have seen this coming? But I'd like to backpedal a little bit, first of all, if I may. And you've given me some context around the messages. You've gone into quite some depth in your email, and I'm not going to share all of it here because it is very personal. But these messages aren't explicit. They're not inferring that there is anything of a sexual nature going on. However, you say that they are from a female. I can see from what you've sent me that they are from a female. And they are intimate, as in they clearly know each other and know each other well. And you say it's somebody that you've not heard him mention before. And you know he goes out once a week. He has a regular get together with friends. So you said some of the context of the messages is quite normal. It's the fact they are from a female who you don't know, who he's never talked of. And you feel that he talks about all of his friends. Why hasn't he mentioned this one? And there could be a number of things at play here. Now, first of all, I want you to know that I am not apportioning any blame here. People have affairs for many, many reasons. And at the moment, we don't have 100% proof that he's having an affair. You have messages on a phone that you've discovered. And there's a lot at play here. And I often do a lot of this work with couples who come to see me, and very often after an affair. And I don't want, Caroline, I don't want you to feel that I'm apportioning blame here in any way. But the first question I need to ask is, why were you checking his phone? That instantly says to me that you didn't trust him. Did you have a reason not to trust him based on his previous behavior? Or is this, as I spoke about last week, as a result of something that you have experienced in a previous relationship and you are carrying through to your current relationship? Now, this doesn't negate the fact that he is text messaging another woman, okay? So let's not get hung up on that right now. But I know a lot about human behavior. I've spent a long time studying the psychology of human behavior, the psychology of relationships. And what often happens in a relationship, if we're carrying something through from our past relationship, as I said last week, we project that onto our new partner. And Caroline, you don't say how long you've been with your partner, but even if you've been with your partner for a very long time, if you haven't dealt with the stuff of a previous relationship, you will carry that into your current relationship with you. And it is quite possible that As your current relationship has evolved, you have been projecting feelings of distrust onto your partner and a belief that at some stage he was going to be unfaithful to you. And when we project those thoughts and feelings onto somebody else, they pick that up. And they then think, well, he or she doesn't trust me. He or she thinks I'm going to go and have an affair. So I might as well go and have one anyway, because even if I don't, they're not going to believe me. And I think a lot of us have been in that situation, perhaps in a workplace, where we feel I can't do right for doing wrong. How often have you said that to yourself about something? How often have you heard friends saying it? So we need to sort of bear that in mind at first as well. Then we have to consider that when somebody has an affair, it's not just down to that one person. Yes, there's the person they're having the affair with, but we're taking that person out of the equation for the moment. You have to ask yourself why. Is it because your partner felt you didn't trust them anyway, so it made no difference whether they had an affair or not? Or is it because of something else? Perhaps your partner's needs weren't being met. And I'm not talking about just physical needs. Again, this is something that comes up time and time again in the couples I work with. Very often, the physical needs are the very last reason why somebody goes to have an affair. Usually, it is because they feel disconnected. There is a lack of communication. You have drifted apart in some way or another. For whatever reason, you are living fairly independent lives under the same roof. Now, this happens. It happens to lots of couples, particularly if there's children involved. Very often, we are still in a fairly traditional society where it's usually the father who goes out and is the main breadwinner, and the mum has the majority of the childcare to deal with. And these very disparate lives force us to go down very different paths which are separate from each other. And that in itself creates a massive chasm. And we all know when we are looking for a relationship, we tend to look for somebody who is similar to ourselves, similar interests, similar likes, and has similar values to ours. You only have to look at all of the dating websites to see how they match people up. It's based on values, principles, likes, dislikes, etc. So all of this is also at play, but it's at play at a really deep subconscious level. Very, very few people actively go seeking an affair. Okay, let's just put that out there. Regardless of what you think, not all men are going out seeking an affair with a younger woman, and not all women are out there seeking affairs with sugar daddies or joy boys. Okay, the media likes to misconstrue these things. It likes to put those myths out there. Majority of people, and there is a lot of research to back this up, the majority of people want to meet someone and have a really open, honest, loving, and trusting relationship with them. And when that relationship breaks down for whatever reason, and somebody's needs aren't being met, the moment else shows them some interest or some attention, and there is a suggestion that their needs will be met by going off with this other person, it is human nature for us to do that. Now, I'm going to take a break now because I've shared an awful lot there that I can tell a lot of you will be getting angry. Said a lot of you will be shaking your fists at the radio, at the stereo, at your phone, however you're choosing to listen to the love show. So I'm going to take a break there, and we will come back a little later and I will discuss this a bit more. Because, Caroline, this is most definitely not your fault, but neither is it entirely the fault of your partner. And this is what we need to work through. So if you have any queries, if you have any questions you want answering, email andy@theloveshow.co.uk. We'll take a break now for some music. In a little while. Wow, well, welcome back. And the emails have gone mad while we've had that short break. And I'm not surprised. But, you know, part of my job as a relationships expert or relationships coach is to have difficult conversations. And they don't make easy listening a lot of the time. But let me reiterate, Caroline, I am not blaming you for your partner potentially having an affair. But neither am I blaming your partner, because there is a lot of science, a lot of psychology behind this. And one of the things that happens, I'd like all of you to think back to when you first met your partner. What was it that attracted you to them? How did it make you feel? And I suspect when you think back to those first few moments, those first few dates, those first few weeks, you notice a physiological difference in your body right now. And what will be happening is that your neural pathways are remembering how you felt, and they are triggering the same reaction in your brain and in your nervous system. And what they are doing is activating your desire and motivation pathway. And what that does is release all of the love hormones into your body. It releases the adrenaline, it releases the oxytocin. And when we have all of these amazing hormones running through our body, it makes us feel good. When we feel good, what do we want to do? We want to go out and have more of the same thing. Now, this is human nature at its very core. This is exactly the same pathway that is activated in people who have addictions. Now, Caroline, I'm not saying that your partner has an addiction here. I'm not saying that he is addicted to sex or love or anything like that. But it is the same pathway that is activated. It's even the same pathway that is activated when we eat chocolate. Okay? This pathway is responsible for pretty much everything that goes on in our lives that makes us feel good. Okay? It's got a lot to answer for. And what I suspect has happened for your partner, as we've said, his needs, whatever they were, weren't being met in some way, whether they be sexual, whether they be communicative, emotional, his needs weren't being met. And he has met somebody somewhere. Whilst he's out with his friends, you said he goes out regularly with friends, he's perhaps just had a conversation with somebody, as we all do. We all have conversations with other people when we are out and about, because as a race, we are naturally social. So I suspect he's had a conversation with somebody, and what's happened, that person has said something, has looked at him in a certain way, has maybe even reached out and touched their arm in just a friendly way, which has triggered the neural pathways that's triggered and activated that desire and motivation pathway again. And what that does, I suspect, it will have crept up on Caroline's partner really, really slowly and out of nowhere. And what has happened as some friendly conversation has then perhaps developed into something more. Now, Caroline, as I said earlier, you haven't said that your partner is definitely having a sexual affair. The texts you've sent me are fairly innocuous. Yes, they're concerning, but they are fairly innocuous. And if it wasn't a woman sending these, they could be deemed as just messages between very close friends. Even the message that says, "Miss you, love you." How many men have you heard say that in a throwaway comment to one of their friends? A Okay, this is part of modern parlance. And because we don't have the full context of these text messages, we can't be 100% sure what's going on. So, Caroline, what I would say to you is to ask your partner about them. It means if you were checking their phone because you didn't feel you trusted them, you need to admit to that because that's a whole other issue. If it happened, as so many partners do, so many couples do, you share your phone. My partner will often pick my phone up because it's the closest to sort of Googling. I've got no worries about what he may see on my phone. There's absolutely nothing there. Equally, I do the same with him. A healthy relationship is like that. It doesn't matter what your partner sees on your phone because they trust you implicitly and you have nothing to hide. So it could be, Caroline, that you just picked your partner's phone up because it was ringing, because it was closest to you, because you heard it pinging and you were going to hand it to him. And you discovered these messages in all innocence. Now, if that is the case, it suggests to me that your partner has absolutely nothing to hide and nothing to worry about. Because if they did, believe you me, that phone would be locked down. You would not be able to access it, and it would be glued to them if they were actively trying to hide something from you. Okay, so please feel reassured if that is the case. But it is certainly okay for you to say to your partner, I accidentally found these messages on your phone when I went to answer it for you the other day, when I moved it out of the way, whatever you may have done. And can you tell me what they mean? Because I've been worried about them. They are making me feel angry, betrayed, hurt. And before I jump to any conclusions, I want you to tell me what they're about. However, if you've come across them because you were searching for something, you then have to say to your partner, I haven't trusted you for a while. I believed there was something going on, and I have checked your phone, and I found these messages, which I believe give me proof that you are having an affair. That's a really hard conversation to have, but it is the only way you are going to know. And the best way to do it is not by throwing accusations at your partner. Because the moment we start to accuse somebody of something, they become very defensive. And no matter what he says to you, tensions will rise, you will both get angry, you will end up in an argument, and you won't resolve anything. So you have to do this really calm and clear-headed. And kind of let go of any outcome. You need to decide whether you want to believe your partner. And there's a lot of soul searching here. And, a lot of this, these are conversations I would have over the course of a number of hours with my clients. So I'm trying to shoehorn it all into some 10, 20 minutes here this evening. But you will have decided whether you are ready to forgive your partner. You will have decided whether you want to give your relationship another go. You will have decided whether it is time to move on. Perhaps both of you deep down realized your relationship ran its course a while ago, and this is giving both of you the excuse you need. So there are very, very many reasons why this could be a good thing for your relationship or a bad thing for your relationship. As human beings, we are inherently social. The format, the construct of a monogamous relationship for life is very much a social construct. In fact, it was the Victorians who implemented that, who instigated it. So it's a relatively modern construct as well. Prior to that, people didn't get married for life. People had multiple relationships, multiple marriages, children by multiple relationships. And it is my belief that we are heading towards becoming a society that is more like we are meant to be as humans. The concept of a marriage for life, whilst lovely, whilst very romantic, is actually not suited to human beings. And it could just be that this relationship has run its course. Relationship endings don't have to be fraught and tense and angry. They can be really healthy. And there are as many examples of really healthy endings to relationships as there are angry, aggressive, tense and fraught endings to relationships. So Caroline, it is really down to you. What do you want for the future of this relationship? Are you prepared to take as much emotion out of the conversation as you possibly can and have a very open, frank and honest and pragmatic conversation with your partner and see where that leads and then make a decision based on how you both feel? It could be that this has progressed further than your partner wanted and they don't know how to get out of it without hurting feelings of the person they are potentially having this affair with, without hurting your feelings, without hurting themselves. They could be tying themselves up in knots because they have got into a situation that they don't know how to get out of. There are so many reasons that this could be happening. It's really easy for us to jump to the conclusion that your partner, Caroline, is having an affair, when maybe they're not. I have talked for a long, long time this evening about this. I have shared my thoughts, I've shared some psychology, I've shared some research. Without having a one-to-one conversation with you, Caroline, I can't delve any deeper into this. But I sincerely hope that you find the answers you are looking for and you get the result you want, whatever that may be. And if I can help you at all in any other way, please reach out. You can contact me via andy@theloveshow.co.uk. Or contact me from my website, deb-morgan.com. Go to the contact me page and we can arrange a session for you. Caroline, thank you so much for your question. Thank you so much for having the bravery to email in. I hope I have helped you in some way. And anyone else, if you have a question for me, if you have a query, have a concern, please email in to andy@theloveshow.co.uk. And I will answer your question in a further episode. Thanks very much.
Join me in the next solo session, where I'll be intimately yours once more. I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and you've been listening to The Real Relationships Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, support, or send me a voice message, and you might feature in a future episode.